Welcome to Godseeker. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. The current message, me first. I was raised in a me world. Oh, my parents were some of the kindest, most generous people you would ever meet. But the culture which surrounded me and which oriented my thoughts contained within it this focus, me first. Naturally, it was not taught directly in this way, subtle, not necessarily spoken out loud, but boldly there if you looked. True to how cultures work, some of society's most vital messages are not taught at all. It's the way people live that imparts the message. It's how priorities are set and talked about. And so, it shows where importance is to be put. Looked at graciously, I do not think the idea of me first actually began with this as the goal. I think perhaps it is a misdirected manner of working for survival and ultimately thrival, a word I made up. That thriving of the human being in the midst of a harsh environment where life is easier than it has been. Where it's as if the worries are not as prevalent and the body is not breaking down so much under the weight of all the stress of living. Time is not so constrained and yet simultaneously relentlessly propelling you forward. There is time and space and opportunity to breathe from all sides, thriving versus surviving. The fight or flight stilled, calm present. At least that's what you hope. Leisure even there where, because of financial position which has come into being, the swirling thoughts can stop. Ease, comfort. Perhaps your time and energy can be spent on tasks and activities which are of greater personal meaning and purpose to you instead of on that which goes towards covering bills, but not necessarily completely. Less pushing, rest. Thrival versus survival. Thriving. Just some thoughts. What does it look like to you? There's nothing wrong with looking to work and save and implement in order to build this financial stability, which leads from a sense of drowning to surviving and finally thriving. In fact, if you recall my background, it is 40 years and counting, sometimes more full-time and sometimes less, of involvement in the field of personal finance, helping people do precisely this. I am still involved in one aspect of my professional life, assisting people in this way. To build their best versions of their lives, which usually includes a financial stability which leads to this freedom in living. But here once again, what I am referring to are heart issues, the manner of approach under the surface, the true motivation and fuel, issues of the heart and attitudes and mindsets regarding how we go about life. And for me, and many in the culture of the United States of America, to me, it seems as if we were taught, me first. This includes in many Christian communities and homes. It is part of the mixture which happens, where the way of life Jesus actually brought, modeled, and taught gets muddled by the culture in which it seeks to blossom and bear fruit, and the boundaries between what is like Jesus and what is not become blurred by the societal subliminal messages. See if you agree. There is a need to survive. This is clear. It is one of our most basic needs, and this is mirrored by our instincts. Well-meaning teachers, advisors, and family members teach and preach to go out there, get the education, get the job, and work for the promotion. Work for the raise in income. Make sure you get it first. Build your empire. There is nothing wrong with working towards becoming self-supporting, towards surviving for more and even thriving. Do you hear me yet? These skills, this way of living, is actually vital to the health of the overall community, to all of us together. Yet within the culture of the United States of America, the message to get some tends to be communicated in a way you are told it's all about you. You need to build for you. to look for yourself and for yourself. And the way of pursuing this is grounded on a me-first mindset, often with an obliviousness to the ones next to us. Now, this is the dilemma. In sharing this with you, I am not proposing one society-defined ism over another. Capitalism, socialism, whateverism, I am simply sharing what I am learning. How I was raised, and you might have been too, contains an underlying message in the how recommended, which may not look like Jesus. I am not looking for or promoting any human-made system. I'm saying, let's stop, pause, consider, reflect. What did Jesus do? What lifestyle did he model? And what does this mean for us? What needs to change, and what is Christ like already? So what needs to stay the same? Jesus, remember, was the visible, perfect reflection of God. He only did and said what Father wanted. So when you looked at Jesus, watched and listened to him, you literally saw God. How supernatural, supreme God in heaven would act, and what was important to him. The stories Jesus told were called parables, symbolic, to be interpreted, pictures of how life was to be when it reflected God's kingdom versus how life was when it was not. In the parables, Jesus shared God's way of life in comparison to how the Jewish people had interpreted God's way to be. Jesus shook up their thinking. He literally blew apart what they thought they knew. He demonstrated by the stories he told, the examples he gave, and how he treated people on a day-to-day basis, that the hierarchical structure which society had created to slot people into different levels of value and importance was not how things really worked in God's kingdom. We were not to strive for me first without regard for the good of the we, for the community. And Jesus confirmed that there is a reckoning coming, a time for all when human structures which do not reflect God's design will evaporate as if they have never been, and for all eternity, finally God's full way, the way of his kingdom, which is community, will be restored and remain. The truth is, there will be consequences for how we treat one another. God's way has never been for all for me and none for you. Not me first, but for all of us in this together. Jesus tells a parable of two men, one who in life had been a rich man, and the other his poor neighbor. In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 26. There was a certain rich man who habitually clothed himself in purple and fine linen, and reveled and feasted and made merry in splendor every day. And at his gate, there was carelessly dropped down and left a certain utterly destitute man named Lazarus, reduced to begging alms and covered with ulcerated sores. He eagerly desired to be satisfied with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs even came and licked his sores. And it occurred that the man reduced to begging died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, the realm of the dead, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have pity and mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime fully received what is due you in comforts and delights, and Lazarus in like manner the discomforts and distresses. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who want to pass from this place to you may not be able, and no one can pass from there to us. You see, in life, the rich man ignored the needs of Lazarus. He treated him as if he were less and unneeded, disposable. The rich man was not in error for being rich, but how he was in that richness. Driven by human wrong motives of self-pursuit and elevation of self for self-benefit, not counting the needs of others as part of his responsibility and worthy of his attention, because God created us to be there for one another, to be connected, caring, concerned, active in positive, beneficial ways, the way he is, according to his will. This particular Lazarus was not treated according to the will of God. In the end, the human me-first way, which is not God's reality, could not remain. God's eternal design took over, as it always will. God's order was restored. Thus, for me, the revelation ever coming clearer that me first does not mirror my Savior and Lord at all. It seems to me that instead, we are a God-made group, all placed here at this particular moment to strive for thriving together, not one pushing for self at the expense of another. So what's the solution? What's the God way? For me, it always goes back to God's will. I am not responsible to fix the world. That's God's job. My job is to be present to Him so I can be present to others His way. Thus, here I am again focusing on listening for God, for the interior whispers in His heart and the nudge what to do when and what not, for the good of the whole, which is His heart. Listen to the song, Master Redeemer. Give Him your life again. Ask Him for eyes to see what He sees and His love to well up in you for what He wants. Listen to the song again. Make it your prayer. You can find the song Master Redeemer on my YouTube channel, on various streaming services, and always on CD. It's part of the Walk on Water album. Thank you for joining in. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. I am praying for you. Godseeker messages are brought to you by Eagle's Nest Foundation. Until next time, listen to the song Master Redeemer and keep seeking God.